$208,600 is the median income of Hamilton students' families. One in five students' families makes over $630,000 or more annually. Although many of Hamilton's students clearly come from a place of wealth and privilege, there are also those who do not. With such a wide array of backgrounds, it is inevitable that socioeconomic status plays a role in the day-to-day experiences of students at Hamilton. Through our research, we explored the extent to which students felt their socioeconomic background impacted their social life on campus, and the ways in which class differences manifest themselves in social spaces at Hamilton.
Wealth manifests itself in a number of ways on campus, one of the main indicators being brands. From our interview findings, common brands associated with higher socioeconomic status include Canada Goose, Nike, Golden Goose, Apple's MacBook Pro and Apple AirPods, Beats, Timberlands, LL Bean Boots, Vineyard Vines, Louis Vuitton, and Gucci.
Apple specifically, either the, the MacBook Pro?
Yeah, right.
AirPods, definitely.
AirPods, for sure,
Canada
yeah.
Canada Goose. I'm sorry, it's probably warm, but that looks pretentious in all hell.
Canada Goose. Students explain that these brands are some of the most prestigious because if you own them, you're quote-unquote
part of the in crowd.
Part of the appeal may also be related to pack mentality in terms of a brand's name recognition, in which owning a certain brand signals information to your peers that you want them to know. Additionally, interviewees acknowledge that people may choose to own these brands because of their high quality. And if you have the money to afford them, why not buy legitimately good products?
The fact that a lot of those things are just legitimately good products, like AirPods right. are like very
good. They are quality. So yeah, like, right, yeah.
That's not to hate on someone who has something like that as, you know, like
a right, if you have the money to afford
right,
it, yeah,
exactly. Like they're legitimately good products. So.
It's also worth noting that some Hamilton students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds named Hamilton gear from the bookstore as a display of wealth, which students from higher socioeconomic backgrounds did not mention. Another indicator of wealth that's sometimes less visible is how often students choose to eat off campus. Among survey respondents, 31.7%, or 19 students, indicated they ate off campus less than once a month, and 15%, or 9 students, indicated they ate off campus once a week. For our purposes, Euphoria and Opus were both considered off-campus dining options because they're not included on a student's meal plan.
Like, those who Euphoria probably once a week.
Okay.
Not to eat, but to have the drink.
Okay, yeah.
And I had, like, off-campus, like, during the weekend, I'll have, like, once or twice.
Okay, and where do you typically eat off-campus?
Mitsuba, Uno, or the full restaurant.
My interviews largely match those survey findings, with students indicating off-campus dining habits ranging anywhere from once or twice a week to once or twice a month. Euphoria, Opus, and restaurants in Clinton and New Hartford that offer delivery services were common choices.
While socioeconomic status is a prevalent force in day-to-day life on Hamilton's campus, it is particularly evident in terms of social life, operating as a source of division between students. According to the survey conducted by our group, 84% of students estimated that their friends were either of the same or a slightly higher socioeconomic status, while only 16% claimed to associate primarily with those of a lower socioeconomic status than themselves. In other words, students tend to group themselves socially with those who are of a similar socioeconomic class. One reason for these socioeconomically homogenous friendship circles is comfort. Students generally gravitate towards those who have been raised in a similar background.
I come from a neighborhood that is filled with people of high socioeconomic status. So all of my friends growing up were pretty rich, not super flashy with their money, but definitely wealthy, like invested in like good technology and like they had beautiful apartments and nice clothes. And I think that I'm just used to that.
I think different people come into college with different expectations of social life based on their upbringings. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you have a higher socioeconomic upbringing, like, it might be more in your mindset that, like, I want to have really, like, fun parties or, like, I want to be in Greek life.
I think, just speaking for the guys that I know or the guys in my fraternity, I think they come from or come to a frat because of certain past experiences they've had for the most part. They've been in that kind of environment. A lot of guys have been on a sports team or had kind of a tight-knit group of friends in high school. So they're looking for
For these students, it felt natural to fall into a group of people whose background was similar to that which they were accustomed to at home. For some students who have found themselves in a social circle comprised of students with different backgrounds, becoming part of that group seemed to be more of a conscious choice.
I'm most comfortable, or not most comfortable, but I enjoy, like, a lot of my friends aren't, are, like, people of color, not from, like, a homogeneous population. I think I value that in a group that's intended to be, like, the people I hang out with for my entire, like, college career. So my decision to join my organization was more driven on, like, the people within them rather than, like, socioeconomic status.
Another contributing factor to the socioeconomic divide in social life on Hamilton's campus is Greek life. With 4 sororities and 8 fraternities, Greek organizations occupy a large social space on campus and are particularly prevalent in the going out scene at Hamilton.
I go out with my sorority. I go to parties like 3 times a week. I usually go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
How often do you go out, like, go to parties?
Probably just 2 times a week, Friday night, Saturday night.
And who do you go out?
My combination of my friends and fraternity.
This year, I'd say I go out, on average, to, like, 1 party a weekend. And usually, that's something that happens on campus for me. Usually in dark side suites with people in my fraternity. But
because Greek societies require members to pay dues, it can serve as a source of socioeconomic division, resulting in homogeneity within the organizations.
I do think dues is something I struggled with a little bit, just because my mom kind of put her foot down and she was like, this is not something I believe you, like, need to spend money on. And so if you want to do this, then you have to pay for it yourself. Which, like I said, has been pretty easy just because I work on campus. But I've definitely seen for some of my friends, it has, like, been difficult.
The issue of dues, which can be expensive, so that's a whole other issue in itself.
For students with lower socioeconomic backgrounds, participating in Greek life requires having a job on campus to pay the expenses of joining the society.
I had a lot of trouble paying for dues. I pretty much got my job because I had to pay for dues. Whereas I think a lot of the people within my sorority, it was kind of a part of their social life and their parents paid for their social life.
And although financial aid is advertised, it is particularly difficult to get.
They say that they have financial aid, and they do to some extent, but although they do have some financial aid, it's difficult to get, and
this deters many students of lower socioeconomic backgrounds from joining Greek life, hence creating a division on campus that is largely correlated with wealth.
Is when you have a group of students who are of, like, high socioeconomic status, that can be, I'm sure, somewhat intimidating for less privileged students.
I have access to these spaces that I wouldn't normally have access to. Like, if I didn't have enough money to be in a Greek society, I think that my experience would completely change. I wouldn't be able to be around all the students that I'm around. I think I would feel very alienated, almost.
The socioeconomic divide not only shapes different forms of social life on campus, but also implicit tensions between different social classes. Some students from low-income families criticize affluent students, not as individuals, but as whole group. For example,
like, I feel like being a part of, like, a lower middle class or, like, any class other than upper class, you're forced to, your parents teach you sort of, like, basic etiquette that I feel like the upper class don't learn. like how to clean your room, how to do your laundry, how to wash your dishes, how to clean up after yourself when you're sharing a space, how to smell good when you walk. Sorry, me going into a whole different rant. Be grateful for what you have.
Yeah, like I don't ask for too much from my parents. Like I barely ask my parents for anything.
How about being frugal? Like having a limit. How about experiencing knowing your limit when drinking? Because like I feel like people who have been like with money for their whole lives, their like parents either give everything for them and don't give a fuck, or have like always been like protected from all like external substances, mm-hmm. where they're like, now I want to do it.
Yeah.
Now here's a chance for me. Let loose and become an animal. And I feel like with lower class, like you're like that's a part of your celebration.
Well,
but I'm also associating with ethnic groups.
During the interview, the students focus on substance abuse common among wealthy people at Hamilton.
You know, because people like they really smoke a lot on this campus.
Oh, okay. Well, in terms of that, it was definitely like a cultural shock because like people in my area like don't do drugs at all. Mm. Like
because they've been protected their whole time, confined to that little space with their parents constantly. Sorry, I don't know why I need to be so dramatic with like.
Contrary to his expressive frustration, another student of a low socioeconomic status also displayed his cynical view of the class system, but he did so in a very ambiguous way.
So I think it's actually funny. I think international students are like a good marker for like richness because you know they have to be rich in order to come to Hamilton and basically pay full tuition to come to a school that costs like what $70,000.
Although it is not obvious, his tone and sneer indicated his negative opinion of wealthy people. On the other hand, students from affluent backgrounds avoided identifying themselves as upper class.
What socioeconomic status do you identify with?
I identify as middle class.
You just generic middle class, class. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess by income and, like, total wealth, probably upper middle class for a lot of areas, but I would consider myself middle class just because I live in a relatively expensive area, so for that, I'm middle class.
First, what socioeconomic class do you identify with personally, and also kind of what class do you see the people in your social circle identifying with?
I think it's interesting because I've always identified myself as someone who's, like, upper middle class, but, like, in reality... And it's weird because my family doesn't like to talk about money with me. But, like, technically, like, I am someone who, like, is kind of in the 1%. And, like, or, like, the 5, whatever. Like, the top 10%. But it's not something that I've necessarily identified with growing up.
Similarly, one student mentioned that he does not like to show off his wealth through his material possessions.
I think I'm kind of a clothes horse myself, but I'm not into the, I don't have like a Canada Goose jacket or, I wouldn't say I'm into the like whole displaying the expensive brands type of deal.
Throughout the interviews, it was clear that wealth often carries negative connotations. According to Ola Cashman and James Twight, media and popular discourses have depicted the wealthy negatively, creating some societal stigmas against them. A few students at Hamilton mentioned stereotypes associated with the wealthy students, including the idea that they did not earn what they have, and they are not empathetic with the struggles of low-income students. Such negative stereotypes may cause lower-class students to have hostile attitudes toward the rich, and higher-class students to intentionally hide the visibility of their wealth.
No matter what socioeconomic background students come from, their experiences at Hamilton are largely shaped by their class status. Visible markers of wealth are prevalent, serving as a surface-level indicator of students' socioeconomic class and creating perceivable divides between groups of students. Wealth also plays a role in social life on campus, with students gravitating towards those of similar socioeconomic class, both due to comfort and cost of participating in some social activities. This leads to socioeconomic homophily across campus. But despite the clear social divides, there seems to be a universal criticism of wealth on campus. Although students appear to be aware of these divisions, they are continually perpetuated by the way social life at Hamilton functions.